Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. David K. Johnston, who's joined us many times over the years, will be with us momentarily. He wrote a piece yesterday that appeared in the Daily Beast, Art of the Steal. This is how Trump lost $916 million and avoided tax. The big New York Times scoop that Trump used $916 million of tax losses to enjoy many income tax-free years raised a question the newspaper didn't try to answer, David writes. How did Trump do it? And that's what the Daily Beast article discusses. David, of course, spent a long time following Donald Trump, actually. He's reported on him for nearly 30 years. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter and was last with us for the book The Making of Donald Trump. So he will be with us just momentarily here on the Ideas Network. But we've got a really busy hour here, and you know that we do because we are in our fall pledge drive. And I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson.
Happy to be here.
And very happy to have you here, John. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You count on us for talk about issues, and we're very heavily into the presidential race. We've done a lot of shows on this. We count on you to keep these kinds of discussions on the air. It's that simple. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And John, I didn't know this. We have some good news here, buddy.
We have some great news. First of all, we had a pretty good hour last hour. 23 of you made pledges, including 13 brand new members.
Thank you. I love reading that number.
And right now, though, and here's the really even better news. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match.
Okay, here we go.
Up to $3,000. This generous match is from the Daughters of Doris Hart in memory of their mom. Doris believed knowledge is power. Thanks to Kathleen Dunn and all of WPR for expanding our knowledge. Today, that means they'll match every dollar you give.
These are wonderful hours because it's not only their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, it means you can double your support for the programs you love. You get the picture here. It's double your money.
That's right.
It's good.
Two for one. It's happy hour.
Absolutely. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, one of the reasons you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio is because we're commercial free. That means we have to depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, corporate funding, all important. But there's another source that's even more important than those.
And this is who it is. The single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's the backbone of our funding. Make your pledge now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So your next question might be, what's the best way for me to fit this into my budget? Well, here's a suggestion. Become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and you set it up to be ongoing.
Being a sustainer is a powerful way of donating. It provides reliable funding for WPR. It's also convenient, and it's affordable for you. Choose a monthly amount, $10 or $20, or become a sustainer. Right now, you can do this at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love, and sometimes you just can't resist asking for the latest WPR logo thank you gift. This drive, we've got something that everyone will love and can use, two WPR pint glasses. Give $7 a month and ask for your very own set. These pint glasses feature both the WPR and the NPR logos, and they'll make a great addition to your WPR collection. Check them out at WPR.org. Ask for your pair of WPR pint glasses when you give $7 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Get some of those pint glasses. John loves those.
I love those glasses. They're good.
Yeah, I know. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. John Munson with me, and we are here to raise the money that keeps this station and this program on the air. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
For those of you who've never given before, here's what to expect. Let's clear up all the unknowns here. It's a very short process, just takes a couple of minutes. You answer some basic questions, give us your name, address, how much of your gift, the amount of your gift, and you tell us how you'd like to pay it.
And that's it.
Yep.
And you make the first donation to WPR, and you'll feel good about it.
I promise.
Yeah. Many first-time donors give $5 or $10 a month. The amount is totally up to you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And since we haven't had enough cute here this afternoon, Bradley from River Hills says, my baby, who is 1 year old, and I listen to WPR on our morning commute, and we love it.
Aww.
Yeah.
Going to be one smart baby.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Bradley and his baby can count on Wisconsin Public Radio as a place to hear balanced news and multiple sides of every issue. This election season, no exception. We're here every day with trustworthy, in-depth coverage so you can cast an informed vote.
WPR is high-quality news, listener-supported news. You count on us, we count on you. So donate right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, so your money goes twice as far. The match is given in memory of Doris Hart by her daughters. Your gift of $50 becomes $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on, up to $3,000. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Join your friends and neighbors who believe in the value of WPR and believe in supporting it. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station as good as it can be.
And when you make that pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure that the news and information you need is here for you every day.
Our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect in memory of Doris Hart from her daughters. It means, you know how this goes. If you pledge $10, it turns into $20, $50 to $100, $100 to $200. It's easy math. I can understand it. And it's a good hour to pledge.
Yep.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your support will go twice as far.
And remember, this pledge drive we're offering something new. You can ask for a set of two WPR pint glasses. Be the first on your block to have them. Gloat over all your friends who don't and raise a glass in support of public radio. The yours when you give $7 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Thank you, everyone, so much for your support. Again, it's 888-202-2552. Thanks so much, John.
Mm-hmm.
As always, David K. Johnston is with us this hour. We're going to be talking about Donald Trump's tax returns. David has written a book. We interviewed him a few weeks ago, The Making of Donald Trump. He has followed Donald Trump for a long time, nearly 30 years of reporting on Donald Trump. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. He has written a number of other books. We've interviewed him on each and every one of these. He was a longtime reporter for the New York Times, and he wrote a piece that appeared yesterday in the Daily Beast that is titled The Art of the Steal. This is how Trump lost $916 million and avoided tax. And all of this, of course, in response to the big New York Times scoop that he used $916 million of tax losses to enjoy many income tax-free years. Welcoming phone calls for David Kay. The phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Hello, David.
Hello, Kathleen. How are you today?
It's a story that keeps on keeping on, doesn't it?
It certainly does, at least for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Let's start, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the taxes, I keep thinking of these immigrants, and you talk in the Daily Beast article about Trump's refusal to pay more than 150 illegal immigrants who demolished the Baumwin Teller stores to make way for Trump Tower. A federal judge ruled he conspired to cheat the workers, and they never did collect all of their $4 an hour wage despite an 18-year struggle. Are you serious? 18 years?
Yep. 18 years, and Trump finally reached the settlement on the condition, as he does with everything he settles, and many other people do as well, that the terms were sealed. And this was after a federal judge, following a trial, found that Trump gave testimony that was not to be believed. He called it not credible. And that he ruled that Donald Trump engaged in a conspiracy to cheat the workers and to cheat the union that was also on the site. This was a site where the union was under the control of mafia figures, and the judge ruled that there should have been payments also made to the union for its pension and welfare funds.
Mm. And this ties into another part of the story, because you write that bankers realized a man, you write, who would endure almost two decades of litigation to avoid paying these fairly meager wages might tie them up for eternity over the billions he owed to them. What kinds of billions did he owe bankers?
Trump owed over $3 billion, $900 million of which, in round numbers, was essentially credit card debt. It was loans on pretty favorable terms that were secured only by his signature. And the New Jersey Casino Control Commission, after two of the commissioners said that there had been official favoritism to Trump by the Division of Gaming Enforcement, that's the Attorney General's Law Enforcement Division, they voted 4-1 to give Donald what he wanted. And what he wanted from them was essentially taking his side against his bankers. The commission had the authority to find Trump financially unstable and remove him as the owner of the casinos and then have them operated by a trustee until a buyer was found. Mm. Instead, they told the bankers, if you foreclose on Mr. Trump, he will be financially unstable and the casinos will simply not be operated and you will have money to recover from hotels in Atlantic City without casinos, which, of course, would be worthless.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a bailed out by government. Too big to fail for New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. One of those casinos closes next week. I wasn't aware of that until I read your
piece.
On
Monday, the last Trump casino, the White Elephant called the Taj Mahal, closes down forever. When it opened on April 5th of 1990, I wrote on the front page of the Philadelphia Inquirer, because it was such a tacky building, spelling the word G-A-U-D, as in gaudy, what hath God wrought?
Oh, my gosh. The story of his income tax-free line begins, you write, in 1990. We're centered on 1995. What happened in 1990?
Well, 1990 is when this deal happened that Trump, with the help of the New Jersey Casino Control Commission, forced his bankers to take less money than they were due and to extend him tens of millions of dollars in new loans on very favorable terms. Now, if you take a loan from a bank and settle for less than full repayment, as people who are trying to get out of student loans or mortgages that are underwater are discovering, that's income. If you borrow money from a bank and don't pay it back, that's income, and you have to pay taxes on it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Trump took advantage of Section 108 of the tax code, which has an exception provision for real estate. And what he did was say, well, instead of owing taxes on the $908 million, I will write down immediately and take no tax benefit for it the value of my other buildings, primarily his three Atlantic City casinos, by the $900 million he didn't pay the bankers. Then he took these casinos whose property was worth far less and in 1995 put them into the first and only publicly traded Donald Trump company, Trump Casino and Hotel Resorts. The people who paid $35 a share got casinos that were not worth nearly as much because of this. The stock went over the 13 years Trump ran it, and it's now defunct, from $35 a share to 17 cents. The vendors who had worked on the Trump Taj Mahal never got fully paid. Some of them didn't get paid a penny. But Donald Trump collected $82 million
wow.
from the company as it was failing.
Wow, $82 million.
And he didn't have to pay taxes on it because of the deal he made that he transferred he took what were called net operating losses from all of his businesses that were losing money, not making money. And that's what the New York Times reported on Sunday. And he used that to offset the $82 million of income and collected all that money without paying any taxes.
Mm. Well, this goes into what somebody asked on Facebook. Zana or Zana asked this, David. The New York Times was looking at 1995. Zana says, this is a snapshot, their article, of only 1 year's losses. Could this be compounded by previous and subsequent years, enabling him to avoid taxes even longer?
Yep. I'm sorry, Amber, what's the question there?
The question is, do we know how long he could avoid taxes?
Oh,
we have,
yes. Yeah. As of 1995, with the $916 million of net operating losses, he could reach back 2 years, and he could reach into the future 15 years. So that's a total of 18 years, including the current year. To do that, he would have needed to have an annual income of about $50 million, $45, $50 million. The problem is his income is nowhere near that. The tax return shows his income for 1995, and his business produced $3.4 million for him. He would have gotten that tax-free. So he, in all likelihood, Trump had excess losses. And by the way, the 1995 simply is how much he had in net operating losses that year. He had, we know, net operating losses in many other years because of government reports that were filed where the amount has been redacted by the government. So in the last year, Kathleen, that we know for a fact that Donald Trump paid income taxes was 1977.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yes, and in all likelihood, he has not paid taxes since then. We know he didn't pay in 78, 79. I recently reported 1984 from records of a tax appeal trial. 1990, it's one or two, and 1994. And the government report on 1994 said he had large net operating losses going forward that would allow him to not pay taxes for a number of years. And we know one other thing. In the last 3 years, Trump is a New York resident, as I am. If you show on the last line of the front page of your tax return, the adjusted gross income, if it's less than $500,000 and you own a home, the state of New York sends you a check for about $300. Trump got those checks, and he's trying to say, oh, they misunderstood my address. It has nothing to do with that. It's done by computer. The computer just says, oh, this line is less than that, and then it cuts you a check. And finally, and perhaps very significantly, the 1984 case that I mentioned.
Right.
The testimony in that trial shows strong badges of tax fraud. Hmm. Donald Trump's tax guy, Jack Mitnick, whom the New York Times interviewed for their story Sunday, testified under oath in that case, that's my signature, but I didn't prepare that tax return.
Wow. So you think he should be investigated? There should be a congressional investigation?
I think that we should absolutely investigate him. I think that Congress should immediately issue subpoenas and direct him not to destroy any paperwork. Now, Trump is not a guy who likes to keep paperwork. He does not use email, and he has said under oath that at the end of each month, when he's been asked about dates and things, he says, I don't know when that was, because he destroys his calendars at the end of each month.
He does. Huh.
Yeah, well, now, that's what he said under oath.
Yeah. So his response to this, and Rudy Giuliani's response to this, and Chris Christie's response to this has been, listen, you know what the guy is? He's a genius. We've heard that word over and over. He's a genius for this. He knows the tax codes better than anybody. He's to keep his businesses alive, this is all legal. This is fine. He's a genius for doing it. You write in your piece, it suggests the rest of us are chumps for paying our taxes while he enjoys all the benefits of U.S. government individual liberty, the FBI, military, while bearing none of the burden. If we all did as Trump does, we would, to quote a line that he employs often, would not have our country anymore. Was he just following by some pretty indefensible rules that allow him to do what he did here?
Well, two things. I don't think it's genius if you lose $1 billion in business and you're the size of Donald Trump. Let's start with that. This is a man who says, look at all the success I've had in business, but his profits here come from his use of the tax losses, not from profits that he earned. That's number one. Number two, we don't know, in fact, that he didn't cheat on those tax returns. We don't have the returns. I've been trying to calculate from all my coverage of Trump, and I have what I'm pretty confident is the world's largest private collection of Trump.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah, I mean, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, they all call me asking for copies of documents that I have, which I give them, by the way, when they ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't come up with a number that big. And we know from other things, like a report of the Inspector General in New York City, that Donald Trump has a history of filing a document with one government office that has one set of numbers, and then for the same event, a different set of numbers. And it turns out, I know you'll be shocked to hear this, that the difference in the numbers puts money in his pocket and keeps it out of the hands of government. That would not be proper. So I think we have very good reason from the testimony in these various cases, lawsuits against Trump alleging that he swindled people and that he cheated them and lied, and his own testimony to be very suspicious at this point. And I didn't start saying this till yesterday, very suspicious at this point of the integrity of Donald Trump's tax returns. And there is no statute of limitations on tax fraud. It's murder and tax fraud. Those are the two crimes with no statute of limitations. There are some others, various states, but those are the two absolutes.
Are we ever going to see all those filings or not? His tax filings?
Only if he is forced under subpoena to produce them. Trump has no incentive whatsoever to show us these tax returns. And it should cost him. I mean, look, we had a tax criminal in the White House who was not indicted out of a courtesy to the office of the president, but Richard Nixon's tax advisor went to prison over Richard Nixon's tax cheating and backdating documents. And we had a man one heartbeat from the presidency who resigned, and Spiro Agnew immediately pled to a tax felony. So we've had a tax criminal in the White House, and another one heartbeat away from the White House. We don't want to have criminals in the White House. And I think that that's the key reason that we have had a tradition, although it's been weakening in recent years. Mitt Romney only gave us 2 years of returns, and those were for years that he had had time to prepare and organize his finances. If we had Mitt Romney's returns from the years when he was not just the manager of Bain Capital Management, but as I and one other person reported, the sole owner of Bain Capital Management, it would have shown, I'm sure, that he either paid zero income taxes or virtually nothing, because there are special rules for real estate that apply to Trump. There are special rules for private equity managers and several other categories of people, and that allows those people to make enormous amounts of money and not pay income taxes.
Mm. So the question of the audience, should Donald Trump be faced with a subpoena? Was he just following, as he claims, he's a genius because he was following what the government allows him to do? Does, as David asked, it suggest that the rest of us are chumps for paying our taxes while he used whatever codes there are to get out of paying taxes? Does he need further investigation here? And do you think that we should see the returns? Will we ever? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. David K. Johnson has been writing about Donald Trump for 30 years. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter who is the author of The Making of Donald Trump, and he wrote a piece in the Daily Beast that appeared yesterday, Art of the Steal. This is how Trump lost $916 million and avoided tax. We'll take phone calls for David in just one moment. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll take phone calls for David K. Johnson momentarily, but we also, in addition to important information, we also are into our important fall membership drive, and it's your support that is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your place for great programs. John Munson is with me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on. Hello, John.
Hello, Kathleen. And we have that dollar-for-dollar match.
Yes.
I don't know for how much longer, because we've already raised over $2,800. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,000 in effect right now. This generous match is in memory of Doris Hart from her daughters. Doris believed that knowledge is power. Thanks to Kathleen Dunn and all of WPR for expanding our knowledge. So today, that means they'll match every dollar you give up to $3,000. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yep, listen to us if you want to get smart. Right, John? It's true. It is true. By golly.
You don't hear me disagree.
I know. Think of all we do here.
That's
it's
right.
Unbelievable. You don't get a show like this anywhere else. The
no.
show is possible pledge by pledge only on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
I have to read this really quickly because, well, why not? Rosemary from Ashland donated and said, I just love listening to Kathleen and John. They're a great pair.
Aww.
Thanks for everything, WPR. Well, Rosemary, thank you so much to you. Okay, meanwhile, back at the program. You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, great conversations, and entertainment, and occasionally a little bit of pledge foolishness. The 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
Keep our connection strong to you and all WPR listeners with a leadership gift of $100 a month if you can, or more. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kathleen, we just crossed the $3,000 threshold.
Lordy, thank
so
you very much.
Thank you so much. We have made our match, but guess what? We still need to get 13 more pledges this hour to meet our hourly pledge goal. So always another hill to climb here at WPR. And that's just fine with us. We love a challenge. So be the next person to make a pledge and help us get to that goal of 30 pledges this hour, thanks to the 18 of you, including 5 brand new members who've pledged.
Very nice.
We need
Thank
12
you.
More of you now to go and make a pledge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you'll hear diverse viewpoints from many different guests and listeners. Our phone lines are jammed right now to talk to David K. Johnson on this important issue. There's a lot of food for thought on these programs, and you'll probably find yourself starting conversations with, yesterday on WPR, I heard, well, that's you. It's time to take action.
Mm-hmm.
To participate in making this show happen with your support, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, a lot of people tell us that one of their first childhood memories is hearing WPR on their parents' radio. Since then, you've gotten hooked. You can't get enough of that news, in-depth conversation, and great entertainment.
Now that you're all grown up, it's your turn to become members like your parents are, to help pay for the hours of high-quality programming that you've enjoyed day after day and year after year. Join the WPR family. Support the radio that's been a part of your life since you can remember. Start with a gift of $5 or $10 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
12 pledges to go in the next 25
minutes.
Let's do
it.
We can get those if
let's
you make your pledge right now. WPR.org. 888-202-2552. And thank you, thank you, and thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much, John. David K. Johnson is with us. We have a full line of phones going here. He wrote a piece in the Daily Beast yesterday about Donald Trump's Art of the Steal is the name of the piece. This is how Donald Trump lost $916 million in avoided tax. David is the author of The Making of Donald Trump. He has huge file cabinets filled with documents about Donald Trump, and he is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. We have a ton of calls coming in. Let's go to Ray in Milwaukee. Our first call for you, David. Hi, Ray.
Thanks for the show. It's very interesting, but it begs an even larger question. If Donald Trump took advantage of these tax laws, which I'm sure thousands and thousands of other real estate investors have done, we just haven't heard about it, wouldn't it be a better question to investigate who were the senators, who were the congressmen, who were the aides that wrote these ridiculous tax laws that allowed this to happen? Because if Donald Trump has robbed us of $1 billion, haven't the other investors in Milwaukee's east side, you know, you name all these places in the United States where you see empty condos, haven't they robbed us of billions and billions and billions? And shouldn't it be?
All right, let's go with that.
Ray is exactly right. And you know what? I've been doing that for years. I mean, I wrote books. Here's the problem. The reason you can't tell which lawmaker did this is the way Congress does tax. There's rarely a public hearing about it. Sometimes language is entered in the middle of the night and no one knows about it. It's done while the discussions are going on. And that's a real problem. I mean, we can look who voted for them, but you vote for a whole package. And let's be fair to legislators. You know, I want this thing. I got to take that thing. That's the nature of compromise. But I have long called for a rule that says there must be a public hearing on every change to the tax code or anything that affects the tax code, because a lot of tax issues are outside of the tax code. And the names of the congressmen or senators who put forth this language must be disclosed. Congress, of course, has ignored that. But Ray is exactly right. The bigger scandal here is these laws. The difference with Trump is that he has used these in ways to that actively hurt other people, and in multiple ways, as I show in The Art of the Steal and in my book, The Making of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you're somebody who's going to run for president, you also want to pay some amount in taxes just because it's for the good of the country, right?
Well, particularly when you're saying on the campaign trail, too many people aren't paying any taxes. Corporations aren't paying taxes. He says it's totally unfair they're not paying taxes. Well, you know, you should walk your talk.
Let's go next. Thanks, Ray, for your call. Bob in Wausau. Hi, Bob.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, yes, I got a couple of questions. One, or comments. One is, on Trump's another claim to fame is that he has large charitable contributions that he makes. If you have net operating loss carry forwards, I'm not sure how a large charitable contribution can be deducted because they're limited to an AGI limitation.
Right.
And that's about it. I mean, it's just another part of the...
Well, Bob, I wrote about this 1 or 2 weeks ago in my column, which runs both at the Daily Beast and Investopedia. And here's what I did. I took the known contributions of the Clintons and Donald Trump. And the known, and then I compared them to their wealth. Trump says he's worth $10 billion. He's not, but let's take him at his word. That's what he wants to be judged on. And we know the Clintons are worth no more than $62 million. Well, the giving rate of gifts per wealth for the Clintons is literally 1,000 times the giving rate of Donald Trump. If you then accept Trump's claims of all these gifts that he's made, the figure then becomes 37 times to one on the side of the Clintons. And you're exactly correct. The reason Trump has not given money for years to the Donald J. Trump Charitable Foundation, and he's given very little money to it over its entire life, is that if you don't have taxable income, then the cost of a charitable gift is 100%. If you're in the 25% tax bracket, the government picks up 25 cents of your $1 gift. You're still out the dollar, but the government picked up a quarter of it. And that's why Trump hasn't been giving. He doesn't have taxable income.
Hmm. Why do you think this, you know, when you listed off their amount of money, the Clinton's $62 million, which seems like a huge amount of money to me, and him $10 billion, he's made a big deal. She's had problems with her income in terms of
right.
Wall Street speeches, et cetera, and how much she's making on the speaking circuit, as her husband is as well. But why is it such a big deal for Donald Trump to let people think that he's worth $10 billion?
Oh, because that's the essence of who Donald Trump is. You know, Martin Luther King said, I want my four children to grow up in a world where they'll be judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character.
Right.
We've created a society, though, with what I call money porn, TV shows and things, where we judge people by the content or the presumed content of their wallets. By the way, Trump got much bigger speaking fees than the Clintons did.
Really?
I'm troubled about the size of the fees. And look, I do lectures for money, but I won't accept a fee bigger than $5,000 for a talk, okay? $5,000 in expenses, and I'm very cheap. But Trump got $700,000 for one talk. He says he got $1 million for some talks for Tony Robbins back in 2000. He got $400,000 for talks at the Learning Annex, although he's publicly claimed it was $1 million. And when challenged about it, he said, well, I got $600,000 worth of publicity, so I really got $1 million for it. Every president who has left the White House in modern times, and by that I mean starting with Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, has made a great deal of money after leaving the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of the modern world. Bill Clinton wrote a book that brought him in, I think the royalties were $30 million in round figures. It sold all over the world. I wish my books brought in $30 million.
Yeah, right.
I could give it away. The fact that they're doing these speeches for these fees, yeah, I'm troubled by it. And the New York Times had a very good story the other day about why is Hillary Clinton this way? And Hillary Clinton is obsessed with the concern that she won't have any money. And you may recall, or maybe not, that maybe 25 years ago, Sherry Lansing, the first woman to head a movie studio, a woman worth easily $100 million at the time, said that she had nightmares all the time that she would become a bag lady. And the reason she made so much money was to make sure that no matter what went wrong, she wouldn't end up a bag lady on the streets of Hollywood.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Hillary Clinton, the comment that was made when they left the White House, too, and she said, we're broke. You're broke? I don't think you're really broke.
Well, they had to borrow money for the down payment for their house in Chappaqua, and I wrote back then about the fact that the litigation and other issues had run through what little money they had, but they very quickly became quite well-to-do. So it was true on the day they left, but it wasn't true 6 months later. And the Clintons, by the way, tithe. They give away 10% of their income. Donald Trump said he would give away the profits from his book, The Art of the Deal. He didn't. He said he would give away the profits and it was used to market Trump the Game. He didn't. He has said that he's done various charitable gifts that when you check, the organizations don't know what you're talking about. David Fahrenthold at the Washington Post called over 300 charities, none of whom had given money to Trump, with one possible exception that may have been a bookkeeping error. I did the same thing in 1990 with about 60 charities, and the only place I found was somebody whom I knew for other reasons who said that they had asked Trump to buy a table at a charity dinner, and he asked for a discount, and they turned him down.
Wow.
That's not charitable.
Let's go to, thanks very much for your call. We go to Peter in Sauk County. Hi, Peter.
Hi, thank you so much, Kathleen, and thank you so much to your guest for the work that he does. In addition to being a Sauk County supervisor here in government, I'm also a Baraboo School Board member. And my biggest concern your guest, Mr. Johnson, raised, and that is the issue of character. As a school board member, my greatest concern for our young people is to be able to discern the difference between what Trump is on the surface and what the reality is of his actions, the difference between words and actions. I have great reservations that much of our population has lost contact with civil society and government as a result of the lack of support to public education and the commitment, especially here in Wisconsin, to educate all children in terms of what it means to be a citizen. So I thank you so much, and I hope that the facts and figures that you are presenting are able to penetrate the emotional armor that Trump seems to have put up that have moved so many people in his direction for the wrong reasons. And I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
Peter goes to an important point. A lot of people who support Donald Trump have a really serious grievance going on. As you know, because you've had me on about my earlier books, we have constructed elaborate mechanisms, and they're stealth mechanisms that's taken me years to dig out and figure out how they work, that subtly take money out of the pockets of everybody and redirect them to very wealthy people. And that's one of the big damaging things going on in our economy. The bottom 90% of Americans' tax returns in 2014 showed the same average income almost as in 1967. When you adjust for inflation, they were ahead by 1%. 1% after 47 years. So Trump is exploiting that, but he's not addressing the real reasons for this. He's saying it's the Mexicans, it's the Chinese, it's the Muslims, right. It's the idiots in Washington, and that won't solve anything.
And do you think that issue, if Hillary Clinton wins, will be brought to the White House? A lot of people don't believe that she cares about that very much.
I
do you
actually
think
close
so?
My book. I close my book, The Making of Donald Trump, with concern about how much Hillary Clinton will do in this area. I mean, we know she'll do a lot about children. She spent her whole life improving the lot of children. Her position when she lived in Arkansas and fought for better education was that every school should be good enough. She would send her child to it, and this was before she became a mother. But whether she's going to take on the interests that have created these structures that make it, I mean, it's a lot easier to make profits from government rules and provisions you put in the code,
sure,
or in regulations at the regulatory agencies, than to earn it in the marketplace. And that's an enormous challenge. And I don't see her putting any effort into that unless she has a Congress behind her that says, we're going to go into these things.
Thanks, Peter, so much for your call. Barb in Madison, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Barb.
I have a question. I'm in real estate, been there for 30 years. I've worked with many people, and during the downturn saw people go through personal bankruptcies, some of them business bankruptcies. My question is, how does a person lose that much money, go through five or however many bankruptcies, and still is able to go to the bank and borrow money? Because in
the answer to that is he isn't. The American banks will not loan money to Donald Trump, who said on the campaign trail, I borrowed money knowing I wouldn't have to pay it back, which tells you he didn't intend to pay it back. And so where does he borrow money? Well, he has money from a small amount of money, $40 million from Deutsche Bank, which is one of the biggest promoters of tax frauds in America and is currently in trouble. And the German government's trying to bail it out and complaining that we're disciplining them for things they shouldn't have done. One of Donald Trump's enterprises, it turns out, is deeply in debt to the Bank of China. So we have a presidential candidate who is, through one of his investments, in hock to the communist Chinese leaders in Beijing.
He's got some problems with Russia, too, doesn't he?
Yes. Well, the money flow has been in his direction. He has gotten tens of millions of dollars, probably hundreds of millions of dollars from Russian oligarchs. He has boasted about this. And you'll notice every time Vladimir Putin is mentioned, he gratuitously, even when it's not subject to the question, states his admiration and respect for Vladimir Putin. He's also a material witness in an alleged $250 million tax fraud involving the Trump Soho Hotel and apartments in New York City, where he's not a defendant, at least not as of now, but the deal, which was run through a corrupt Icelandic bank to a Russian oligarch, was only possible because Trump signed a letter authorizing it.
Sue asks on Facebook, and then we'll go back to our pledge drive, and thank you very much for being with us, David. Sue asks, are all of these dealings thought up by Donald Trump, or do we have the names of those who give him all these deals? Are all these accountants and lawyers making billions, too? I imagine they aren't getting stiffed.
No, they're not making a lot of money off this. Trump, for many years, used one tax guy. His name is Jack Mitnick. He's now 80 years old. He's the one who, under oath, disowned Donald Trump's 1984 tax return when he said, that's my signature. It was a photocopy, by the way. That's my signature, but I didn't prepare that tax return. And the people who are around Trump, if you would think that the CFO of the Trump Organization lives in a grand mansion and lives well. No, actually, he lives in a house that isn't up to mine, which is just a nice upper-middle-class house, nothing fancy. Trump finds people who he pays more than they could get in the competitive marketplace, pays them a little bit more. They get the prestige of being connected to Donald Trump, but he doesn't pay them particularly well at all. And if you do anything that isn't absolute total loyalty to him, he just cans you on the spot.
David, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Again. David K. Johnston wrote a piece yesterday, The Art of the Steal. This is how Trump lost $916 million and avoided tax. David has followed and written about Donald Trump for 30 years when he started all the casino businesses. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, and we last spoke with him about his book, The Making of Donald Trump. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like what you just heard this hour. We do a lot of political shows. Your support makes that happen, so please give now. Any amount makes a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Well, Kathleen, we achieved our first goal this hour, which was to make our $3,000 match, so hooray for us. And our second goal, which is to get 30 pledges, we're closing in on it. We only need 8 more.
All right, let's do this.
8 more pledges in the next 9 minutes or so. We ought to be able to do that to make our goal. And you can be the next person to make a pledge. Get us that much closer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you enjoy having David K. Johnston on the air, and our relationship with him is long-term. It's not like we just, because he's been making a lot of news lately, got him on the air. He's been with us ever since his first book came out. For years, we've been interviewing David, and he's very, very sharp. And likes talking to you because you're a sharp audience as well. But think of all the things we talk about every week here. Tomorrow we've got, during this hour, the only foreign lawyer allowed to practice in Afghanistan, and she happens to be from Milwaukee, and she happens to be a Mrs. Wisconsin. The story couldn't get any more interesting.
Wow.
And her, all these bombs flying, she's been in Afghanistan at very difficult times, and what happens to her husband, who grew up in Milwaukee, as she did, he comes home for his high school reunion and gets shot in the face, and carjacking. He's okay now, but it's an amazing story. I mean, where do you get these kinds of stories? Where do you get David K. Johnston? John, I ask you, where do you get all of this? Seriously.
Is that a trick question?
No, it's not. It just amazes me sometimes. It does. As somebody who looks from afar at what we do here, I'm just astounded by it.
It is amazing. Day
really.
In and day out. I mean,
yeah.
And this is what people come to expect from Wisconsin Public
right.
Radio. And
right.
in this case, we're not. It's not under-promise and over-deliver. It's we deliver exactly what we say we're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. If you agree, then please take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that is good for you. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For just a moment, think about the things that you might pay $100 a month for. Say your, cable TV
right.
subscription or your mobile phone or something like that. You're willing to do that because you get something all month long out of it.
You get those same things on this station. In fact, the quality of what you get from WPR is really unmatched. So please pledge to us, give to us, or become a sustaining member with a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more, what you pay for cable. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
A lot of thought goes into what we select as thank you gifts during our membership drives. We ask people for their ideas, check out what other public radio stations are offering, do lots of internet research. And it's all worth it because we want you to have the best WPR logo items possible. We love the new WPR pint glasses and think you will too. Here are some of our WPR staff members to tell you why.
It's just a really neat looking pint glass. It's sturdy, it's glass, easy to clean.
I like that it's got both WPR and NPR's logos on them.
I will actually strategically make sure to only serve guests in this WPR pint glass when they come over.
Donate $7 a month or more and ask for your pair of WPR pint glasses. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson. We are asking for your support of WPR and your gift, I don't know, $10 or $15 a month? Whatever you can, we thank you for it.
Absolutely, we do thank you for it. And you know what? When it comes to the Ideas Network, the expression, talk is cheap, doesn't actually hold true. First of all, on the Ideas Network, you get high-quality conversations.
And secondly, these great conversations aren't necessarily free.
Mm-mm.
It takes a lot of resources to get all of these discussions on the air.
And that's where you come in. You enjoy this high-quality talk, and you support it. When you make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you become a sustainer, you can choose a monthly gift amount, set it up to come from your bank account or your credit card, and it will continue as long as you would like.
Absolutely. It continues as long as you want, and because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without, you might as well support it with a convenient, flexible, sustaining membership. Get started now with a gift of $5 or $10 a month. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
It's possible that you have already made a donation this year or you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much.
Amen.
We'll gladly accept your extra gift. We really will. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. You'll help make this drive successful, and you will support the programs that you enjoy every single day.
Well, you know, I'm really glad you mentioned that extra gift thing, because Linda in Duluth is clearly on the same wavelength that we are. Linda says she loves and values the Kathleen Dunn Show and all of WPR so much that she upped her sustaining membership. Well, Linda, thank you so much. You can be the next person. Help us get to our 30-pledge goal this hour. We need 8 more pledges. Yours could be the next at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's really a good idea to make our goal, because we need to make the goals, and then we'll feel really good so we can go and have a little bit of chocolate because we worked really hard right now. And we can have two things of chocolate if we really make the goal, right?
Whoa.
So we're so close.
Yeah, well, you know, Lisa's in control of the chocolate, so we'd better get these pledges in. We need eight more of them, or no chocolate for us.
All right. Yeah. But again, just to let you know that we thank you so much for all of your pledges, and it's very easy to pledge. You just go to
WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Just takes a couple of minutes and you'll feel wonderful, just as if you'd eaten a nice bowl of oatmeal. Yeah, Wilford Brimley. It's the right thing to do. You don't remember those commercials?
I don't, actually.
Okay, sorry.
Oatmeal.
Yeah, oatmeal. Makes you feel good when you eat it.
It does?
Yeah. So you learned something new on the Ideas Network
today.
We're
getting slap happy. We always learn something new, John.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this hour, and to KP as well for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. Please join us tomorrow. I was telling John about this fascinating story. Actually, the woman who is I think she's left Afghanistan, and she's in the peaceful place of Uganda right now. But her story is amazing, and a film has been made by a Danish film company about her time in Afghanistan, and it covers a 5-year period of time. She's one tough lawyer and has done a lot of good. Went there not knowing much about Afghanistan, went there to make some money as a lawyer, and wound up doing some company law, but also a lot of advocacy work for abused women and abused children. It's quite a story, and I hope you'll listen to it tomorrow. Thanks for your pledges and for listening.